The Bible reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15, page 890 if you have one of the church Bibles. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. I assure you, they've got their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the idolaters, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honoured as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive people their wrongdoing, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive people, your Father will not forgive your wrongdoing.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to see you here today. My name is Adrian. Welcome to church. Welcome to our series on the Lord's Prayer. And it's great that Jesus has taught us how to pray, because sometimes when it comes to approaching God, we're not sure what we're meant to do, what we're meant to say. But Jesus' whole purpose in coming into the world was to show us and reveal to us how we can come to God, how we can approach him, how we can relate to him and love him and trust in him. And one of the key ways is through prayer, and specifically through the Lord's Prayer. So we spent the last couple of weeks, if you missed those last couple of weeks, those talks are on our website, or they're on our app, actually. North Mead Anglican Churches has an app, and you can listen to talks really easily on that, so you can catch up with those. But we're really going through line by line through the Lord's Prayer to help us to really understand it in a lot of depth. So why don't we pray now and ask God to help us to understand who he is, how much he loves us, and how we can relate to him. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you love us. You have revealed yourself to us perfectly in your Son Jesus. And thank you that you give us the opportunity, the privilege, the joy of being able to pray to you. And Father, we ask now this morning that you would help us to understand your word and to love it. And we pray that you would indeed provide us what we need. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let me ask you, are you the kind of person who loves to have everything planned out in detail? I know my itemized plan, I've got the step-by-step, everything's going to happen, I've got it planned out. Or are you the kind of person who's just happy to go with whatever happens? Spontaneous, come what may, just wing it. Are you the kind of control freak like myself who loves every detail and just in control of everything, or like my wife who's just relaxed and comfortable and just wants to easy go and laid back, never plans anything? Which one of those are you? It's possible, isn't it? Because there's, you know, a bit of both in all of us, and we're at different lengths on that. But it's possible to think too much about the future. It's possible to think too much about tomorrow and not enough about today. It's possible to forget to appreciate what we've got here and now, and to be never satisfied with what we've got, and we spend more time obsessing and worrying about trying to get the next thing. We can focus so much on the future that we end up neglecting the present. Whether it's working long hours in order to get ahead in life, but missing your kids' events or sporting things or whatever, or whether it's saving for retirement, but you never actually get a time to enjoy things as a family, we can think so much about the future that we forget about the present. And that's why Jesus says a little bit later in Matthew 6, verse 31, Jesus teaches his disciples not to worry about possessions and the things that are going to happen tomorrow in the future. He says, God will provide. Don't worry about the things that you're not in control of. So he says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first God's righteousness and all these things will be added to you. God will look after you. But then verse 34, Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Don't be so obsessed with the future that you forget to live in what is happening right now. But he's not saying don't think about tomorrow. He's saying trust God with tomorrow. Remember, God is in control of your tomorrow, your future, not you. So trust him. Because at the same time, we can think too much about the future and about tomorrow. It's also possible to think too little about it, not enough. See, on the flip side, we can get so caught up with the here and now, with the immediate moment, with instant gratification, that we don't think about consequences, do we? We don't think about the long term. We don't think about the big picture. We ignore where things are heading. We ignore our own mortality. We ignore the fact that all of us are going to have to face God, that there is a heaven and a hell. We ignore that because we're busy with some trivial, temporary thing right in front of us. And that's why Jesus says in verse 19, also in Matthew 6, he says, don't collect for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but collect for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus is saying the stuff that you want today, the stuff that you pour your heart into today, your possessions, your property, your money, all that kind of stuff, it's just going to disappear. You need to think about eternity. That's the tomorrow that we need to be worried about. We need to be ready for that day that is coming when Jesus, the Lord and King, the Creator and Savior of the world, comes back. That's the day we need to be thinking about. Now, the reason I'm talking about tomorrow, the reason I'm talking about the future is that's what this part of the Lord's Prayer is about. Because we're looking at the line today, give us today our daily bread. But literally, the original says something like, give us today our bread for tomorrow. Give us today our bread for the coming day. It's actually a prayer about tomorrow. It's a prayer about what's coming. See, remember, in this prayer, Jesus has said to his disciples, pray like this. And he's given them at first three requests that are for the sake of God, for God's glory. So, our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy, your kingdom come, your will be done. But here in verse 11 is three requests that Jesus teaches us that are really for ourselves. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us. Deliver us. So pray like this, says Jesus, our Father in heaven, give us today the bread of the next day. Give us today the bread of tomorrow. Feed us for the day that is coming. See, we think this prayer is about today. It's actually a prayer as much about tomorrow. And to fully understand this prayer, we need to understand the story of Israel in the Old Testament, especially in the Exodus. See, very often the New Testament, which is written in Jesus' lifetime and after his ministry, quotes or has in the background what happened in the Old Testament, you know, kind of 1,000 years before Jesus turns up. And the context of the Old Testament is really helpful in helping us to understand what's going on in the New Testament. And that's why in a few weeks we are starting this whole Bible in 9 weeks series called The Mission of God, because we want to see all the connections pointing everywhere in the Bible to Jesus. But if you have a Bible in front of you, turn back to Exodus 16. Exodus chapter 16 is going to tell us a little bit about Israel and especially the bread of tomorrow. If you don't have a Bible, we actually have church Bibles. You can follow on. And in fact, if someone wants to call out the page number of the church Bibles of Exodus 16, what page is that on? 63. Okay, fantastic. So Exodus 16, you know the familiar story of God using Moses to rescue Israel from slavery and death under the Egyptians. and how there's the 10 plagues. And finally they escape and God parts the Red Sea and they escape from Egypt. And then they're out there in the wilderness of Sinai. But while they're in the middle of nowhere, the Israelites start panicking about what they will eat. Where are they going to get food? How will they survive? They even start saying, not long after they've escaped, wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? Weren't things better back then when Pharaoh was killing the firstborn sons, flogging us to death, making us eat nothing? Wasn't that better than being here with God when we don't know the future? But despite their grumbling, God is kind to them and provides them with everything they need. So verse 4, God says, I am going to rain down bread from heaven for you. I'm going to rain down bread. You're worried about where it's going to come from? I'm God. And I'm going to rain down bread. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for the day. In the morning, God rains down this bread that kind of would be on the ground called manna. In the evening, there'd be quail, these kind of small chickens with all bones and no meat there in the evening. But they were miraculous quail, maybe, delicious. But so they're kind of God provides. And even the name manna, which is what Israel calls this bread, I love it. It means, what is it? So they decide to call this stuff, what is it? Hey, Dad, what's for dinner? What is it? Can you pass me a bowl of what is it? That's what they ate for 40 years. Now have a look at verse 17 in chapter 16 of Exodus. Some gathered a lot, some gathered a little. When they measured it by quarts, the person who gathered a lot had no surplus. The person who gathered a little had no shortage. Each gathered as much as he needed to eat. This is amazing, this food. No matter how much you got, it's enough because it's from God. But Moses warns Israel not to try and keep any overnight because God had promised that he was going to provide each day. He says, you don't need to stockpile this stuff. You just need to trust God each day is going to provide what you need. Verse 20, they didn't listen to Moses. So some people left part of it overnight until the morning. And it bred worms and it smelled. Didn't work. And Moses was angry because Israel just refuses to trust God. They're trying to trust their own sense of security. So every day God would send down this bread, this manna, and every day they would have enough for that day. But you know what? The sixth day was different. The Friday was different because God had commanded Israel, 6 days you'll work and on the seventh you will rest. No work, no labor. The seventh day is a day to God. A seventh day is a day to celebrate, a day to rejoice. And so verse 22 tells us that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much food. And so verse 23 says, he told them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a day of complete rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you want to bake, boil what you want to boil, and everything left over, set aside to be kept until morning. So they set it aside until morning, as Moses commanded, and it didn't smell or have any maggots in it. Eat it today, Moses said, because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you won't find any in the field. For 6 days you may gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Yet, verse 27, on the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they didn't find any. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and instructions? Understand that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he will give you 2 days' worth of bread. Each of you stay where you are. No one is to leave his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. You see how God is providing everything that his people needs. God is reminding his people that everything, air and life and the seasons and food and clothes, everything is provided by our God who is in control. And in particular, on that one day a week before the Sabbath rest, when God says, I don't want you to go do anything, so I'm going to provide you twice as much as what you need. And on that day, it will last overnight. That Sabbath day when Israel were to remember that God had created the world and enjoyed it. That Sabbath day where Israel were to remember that God had rescued them from Egypt and saved them. But you know what? The land that Israel were going to, God had saved them from Egypt. They're now in the wilderness. They're going to the promised land. You know what that promised land gets called? That gets called rest. That's the Sabbath land. That's the land of rest. That's the land where you're not having to work and toil and it's not sweat and blood and tears. That land is overflowing with abundance. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a place where they wouldn't have to work for the crops because God would provide. They wouldn't have to build the cities because they're already built, says God. And you know, the Bible calls the future that Jesus has for us, the new creation, eternal life that we can have as a free gift through Jesus, it calls that rest. The promise of entering that rest still stands when our labors and toils and suffering will be over, when everything will be provided in abundance, in overflowing, and there will nothing be, nothing but celebration and joy will be in that place. So in the end, when Jesus says, pray like this, give us today the bread we need for tomorrow, today the bread we need for the rest, the bread we need for the coming day, Jesus is saying, pray for what we need for eternal life. Pray that our physical and spiritual needs are met so that we can enter the kingdom, so that we can enter heaven, so that we can live forever. Give us today the bread of tomorrow. Feed us with what we need, the food we need, so that we can live forever in your eternal rest. See, we often read Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer, as if this line is about groceries. But it's way bigger than that, isn't it? So what is this bread that we're asking God for that can make us live forever? Well, a couple of chapters earlier in Matthew, if we're going to flick back to Matthew, in Matthew 4, Jesus has gone through his own experience, really, of the Exodus and the wandering in the wilderness. Israel were out there in the wilderness for 40 years. Jesus, having been baptized in the Jordan, is out there in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights without food. And Satan tempts him, like Satan had tempted Israel, and they kept believing his lies. But Satan tempts Jesus, who stands by the truth and stands by God. Satan keeps saying, why don't you dishonor God? Why don't you ignore God? Why don't you take shortcuts and disobey God? Why don't you do what you want and not what God wants? But one of the ways that Jesus responds to Satan is by quoting God's word to Israel in the Exodus. He says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, it is written, man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. See, what Israel needed to learn in the wilderness is the thing that kept them alive, the thing that sustained them and fed them, what they needed to feed on and rely on was God's word, God's promises. That when God said, I will provide, we'll believe him. When God says, I will protect you and I will guide you, I will show you the way, I will keep my promises, then believe his word and feed on his word. That's the thing that's going to keep you alive, not your army or your food or your city, because all of those things in the history of Israel fail. Their army fails, their walls fail, their city fails, their kings fail. All the things that they want to rely on fail. God says, no, trust my word. So give us today our daily bread, our bread for tomorrow, is give us the food we need now to live into eternity, the food which is your word, God. What we need to live, more than clothes and food and money, is we need God to speak to us. We need God to reveal himself to us in his word, the Bible. We need to trust him. And the problem is, as humans, we keep trusting the things that God gives us rather than the God who gives them to us. We keep valuing God's gifts more than we value God. And so we think life consists in possessions and experiences and successes, but life consists in relationship with God, with our glorious Creator, the one who gave us those things. And so we live by his word and not by bread alone. That's the bread that we need to feed on, is the Word of God. And later in Matthew's Gospel, there's another idea of what this bread means. In Matthew 26, Jesus is having the Passover meal. Jesus is having a meal to celebrate that God had brought Israel out of Egypt. As the kind of angel of death had passed over Israel's houses, but destroyed Egypt because they didn't trust God's word. And so they're celebrating this rescue and this salvation by having this meal. And as Jesus serves his disciples, as Jesus breaks the bread and shares it around, shares the cup with them, as he hands this out, he says, this bread is my body. This bread is a sign of what I am about to do. I'm about to be broken on the cross. I'm about to die. My blood is about to be shed and poured out. My life will be spent so that you can live forever in God's Sabbath rest in the new creation. The bread that you need to feed on, says Jesus, take this and eat this. The food that we need to feed on to have eternal life and to be ready for that coming day when Jesus returns is Jesus' sacrificial death on our behalf. And so you see, to receive Jesus' death, to believe in him and to trust in his saving death is to feed on him by faith in our hearts. The bread we need, the bread that we're praying for in the Lord's Prayer, is God's word and God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that's why we gather together each week for a family feast on God's word, on Jesus. This is why we meet during the week in Bible study groups, to feed on God's word, to be sustained by it, to be spiritually nourished by it, so that God will sustain us as we trust in him now and into eternity. That's why we encourage people to meet one-on-one together around God's word, the Bible, to feed together on God's word and on the Lord Jesus, the food that will make us live forever. God's word, the crucified and resurrected Lord Jesus, who died for our sins. Give us today our daily bread. Again, Jesus is saying, pray to the Father that I would go to the cross for you guys, that I would suffer and die for you guys, because that is the only food that will ever give you life that will last forever. That's the kind of king we have in Jesus. He says, you know what request you need to make of God? That I would be the crucified Savior. And in fact, John 6, if you turn your Bibles to John chapter 6, that Stuart had mentioned earlier, Jesus is even more explicit that he is the bread from heaven. So in John chapter 6, just in case you were wondering whether this is really what our daily bread means, I think Jesus is pretty clear here in John 6. So if you take it up from verse 26, and what the context of this is interesting. Jesus has just fed 5,000 men, and there would have been a whole bunch more women and children, this enormous crowd with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. So he's just done this astonishing miracle, which really says, I am greater than Moses, who fed Israel in the wilderness of the manna. Here he is saying this. Then verse 26. Jesus answered, they've asked him, you know, can I give us a sign, whatever. I assure you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. You want another lunch, basically. Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal of approval on him. You see that? Jesus is saying, you're worried about your next meal. What you need to be worried about is the food that lasts for eternal life. Food that if you eat it, you will live forever. You will die and rise and live. We want that food, don't we? Well, what is that food? So verse 29, this is the work of the God, that you believe in the one he has sent. This is how you receive that food, to believe in Jesus. Then they say, verse 30, what sign are you going to do so that we may see and believe you? They ask, what are you going to perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, just as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Remember, Jesus has just fed them in the wilderness miraculously, and they say, give us a sign. Then Jesus said to them, verse 32, I assure you, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the real bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said, sir, give us this bread always. I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry. No one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. But as I told you, you've seen me, and yet you do not believe. There is Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. I am the bread from heaven. I am the one that you must rely on and receive and feed on. I am the only thing that can keep you alive forever. I'm the only one who can save you from death, who can bring you back from death. I'm the only one who can make you right with God and wash you clean of your sin. I am the food you need to eat. Jesus in the Lord's Prayer is teaching us to pray that God would speak to us his life-giving word, and that we'd live by that word and feed on it and obey it. And Jesus is teaching us to pray to God that we would feed on and rely on his sacrifice that gives us eternal life. That he would nourish us, that God would sustain us and save us and rescue us by the Lord Jesus Christ, who in his death and resurrection, Jesus is everything we need to live for eternity. God is our provider. We keep forgetting that. But he is the one who has provided us everything. God is our Father, Jesus teaches, who loves to give us good gifts. God is the one who clothes us and feeds us. That's why we want to say grace before meals. It's not just a formula that you go through. It's a way of saying, thank you, God, because we wouldn't have this food if you hadn't given it to us. We wouldn't have these clothes, these cars, these homes, this money. God has given us everything. And we need to keep trusting in him for those things, not thinking that we could ever provide those on our own. But Jesus is saying, actually, you need to pray much bigger than that. You need to pray that God would give us today what we need most of all. And that is salvation, forgiveness of sins, right relationship with God, and the sure and certain hope of eternal life. This is what it is to be a Christian. It's to know that everything you've done wrong has been dealt with. It's to know that even in death, Jesus' promise still stands and you will live forever, because he will raise you to life. So Christians, let us feed together and feed one another God's word, the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread we need to live now and forever. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have given us your word. Help us to keep trusting it and believing it and obeying it. And thank you that you've given us your Son, Jesus, our perfect Lord and Savior, who in his death and resurrection is everything we need for life now and into eternity. Help us to keep trusting in you, keep believing in Jesus and feeding on him by faith in our hearts with thanksgiving. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to stand and sing again. It is Well With My Soul. Please let's stand together.